I'm John, drums, percussion.
Dave, guitar, vocals.
I'm a twat, saxophone, food.
That's stonks, by the way.
Saxophone
is stonks.
Saxophone and food.
Oh, it's okay.
And I'm showing up to play the bass.
But how it started was me and a good friend, Dwayne Dackham, started just jamming on with acoustic guitars. Started a punkadelic, that's what we used to call a band off called TARDIS. And it was me, Dwayne, Graham Kirk, and Dwayne's brother Richard,
and
John on drums after about a couple of weeks, wasn't it? John had never even played the drums the first practice.
Your brother?
I'm your brother, John. So that's how that started. TARDIS, we did one gig, a local gig at concert.
Fresh out of school, you know what I mean?
Richard, the bass player, was... he wasn't even a bass player, he just had a bass.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up falling out of the amps and basically we turned him off halfway through the gig and he still thought he was playing. Getting right into it. So we got he sort of left, we didn't sack him, he just sort of knew, you know what I mean? He wasn't a bass player sort of thing, was he?
No. He's one of his friends, you know what I mean?
Then Baz. Asked Baz to come down because we had another gig as TARDIS, but we didn't have a bass player.
I was practicing in the main hall and he heard us, he was in the other room.
And I says, can you come into this room and just rehearse with us?
I was doing a Hawkwind riff and he was in the Hawkwind at the time because he was playing that Hawkwind riff and come in and I was playing it and we went to the same school, I knew him, but I didn't talk to him anymore.
Baz did one gig with us as TARDIS.
Then after that,
it was all our own stuff.
It was good.
We used to do Ejection by Hawkwind and
the right stuff or something. You know,
Brainstorm.
Motorhead.
So we did quite a few.
Because I've got TARDIS.
We used to do numbers as well. And stuff like that.
Rob numbers we used to do.
Then we just gel together after that.
Then it was me and John and Baz. Dwayne left for personal reasons, said he didn't have the time, you know, sort of thing. And so it was me, John and Baz. Then you'd just come back from London, hadn't you?
Aye.
And the factory where I was working at the time, there was a path going past the factory and he was walking down. Oh, Tonks, how long have you been back, sort of thing. Oh, I've just got back. What's that you've got? Oh, it's a saxophone.
Nice to jam on him.
Do you want to come down and try it out? So he come down and not only did he have a saxophone, but he had a wah-wah pedal with it as well.
It was
mint, wasn't it? So then it was me, Baz, John and Tonks. And Wiggy was sort of he just used to come down and...
He's a good all-round talented, like he had a drum kit, he plays a bit of guitar, and he does a bit of all sorts of that.
We didn't do a gig for years, we were just... Mm-hmm. Basically amusing ourselves. John went on the keyboards.
Wiggy went on the drums.
And then it just came about as Cromleck and then
Chrissy Geddes,
on the synth.
Dave Walton.
It was basically just about 12 people sitting in a rehearsal room no bigger than this.
What's whipping and swapping?
It's just musical mates. Just basically, you know what I mean? Do you want to be in the band or not?
Every rehearsal was like a gig, I thought, you know, because people would just turn up.
It was just come as you go, or he's not turning up the night.
People would try out.
But then
things were just getting together.
We were getting songs.
It sounded good, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we had a good understanding of what each other. That's where Cromleck started.
That's what you need, like.
We started saying, right,
I know he's
we don't
do
need
that.
You know, let's book a rehearsal where nobody knows so we can get it together. You know,
so
that lasted a week, by the way, Gary, didn't want to interrupt you there, but nobody at the practice lasted a week and then it got back.
Alright, lads, he's coming in, get out of your voice, man.
Why the change of name? Why did you become Cromleck? And where did you get the name Cromleck?
TARDIS.
As well?
TARDIS was time and relative dimension in space.
Mm-hmm.
Which it is, you know what I mean? It was a good name. We were doing sort of
it was space rock
with a punk edge.
Warriors on the edge of the time, sort of.
And just with the change of members and the change of style as well.
You
just jam on and you seem to all know the same, you know what I mean, feel.
So
we're all mates anyway.
Cromleck is basically I think it didn't happen for the sake of let's think of a name. It was just somebody says I think we should call it back.
I think it was Winky when he came.
I never liked the name anyway.
I'm not that keen on it, to be honest with you.
It's always the same. You pick a name and then you like, and then
well,
it's a different deal.
Two standing stones standing upright with a flat stone on the top.
And it was picked in that'll do.
It's
hard picking a name.
We could even call Lintel.
Yeah.
All right. Then.
You come up with names, man. Then you wake up in the morning, and think, I'm a twat. What even thinking about?
What about gigs? I mean, do you gig regularly or?
You make some stuff and you do a few gigs with it, and then you think, wait, because you're playing and that, you want to make new stuff of all time, and you want to you run out of sort of local pubs to play that bit of music that you've done, and then we'll get practicing and we want to do other stuff. Yeah. Then we'll just break out again.
What about your musical influences?
Baz, your musical influences?
For the band, our influences were Hawkwind in the early days and Gong.
Gong, Here and Now.
Right. In the early days, Hawkwind was the main influence of the band.
Without a doubt,
yeah.
Here and Now for me. Just everybody's got their own influences. I mean,
it was Hawkwind, wasn't it? That's all the influences from
Zappa.
Playing the saxophone, I love Exe Specs.
Yeah.
I love that saxophone in Exe Specs. I love the way he plays it. All that. I love that. That's the influence for me. But then again, so was Gong.
Gong, for that type of music, that genre of music.
Okay, well, let's go through your releases then. If you could tell me how many releases you've had to date and what each of them are and sort of availability.
Four, isn't it? First one was Inspirational Flotation Compilation. Yes.
No, it wasn't. Are we talking tapes?
No.
Just CDs?
We'll just talk CDs.
Right.
Hang on.
It's time.
That's it.
Half bells. That release was basically, we met up through Northern Recording. We met up with Tim, and Tim Kate was assigned to come down to a rehearsal by Northern Recording. He was just like given this job by Northern Recording to come to one of our rehearsals and get us, I don't know, get
ready
a bit of professionalism
a
into it. You know, the plan was we'll get Tim down, we'll do an acoustic set, you know what I mean? And Tim was gonna sit in the back row and sort of advise and, you know, influence sort of thing.
Doesn't happen
Tim came to the rehearsal and John had just had his drums nicked. The rehearsal, we turned up.
I did.
John had his drums nicked.
I went to Stonehenge at the time. Nicked. Went down to Stonehenge, Salisbury Hill, all that lot up the tour. When there was no festivals on at the time, we just went down for a good holder. I come back, me bag with all my cymbals, my stands got nicked. I just bought a China cymbal,
so
16-inch Ray China cymbal, and that was £110. I only had it for about seven weeks.
To set the picture, we're in the rehearsal room, obviously instruments plugged in, waiting to find out how we're going to get a drummer, sort of thing, you know, or get drums. We're all sort of going ooh, as John's
smashing the place
go
up,
fucking off it
because he's got a temper.
Tim walks in with a flat cap on, sort of thing, opens the door, hello, drumstick flies past his fucking head. What he must have thought, I don't know, like, but you know what I mean. And basically we're told him to crack, oh look, nice to meet you, sort of thing, blah blah blah.
Tim being a nice lad went straight in with us, didn't he?
Well, what I'll do, Tim says, I'll just sit back. John sorted some stands out off Northern Recording, and Tim says, I'll just sit back. Whoa, there's a guitar there, mate. Plug the fucker in, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
So we got about four songs together with Tim, what we recorded at Northern Recording.
That was that one then, practice, wasn't it? Just about.
Then we all went up to Tim's, who was
like
reckoning at the time. and just started jamming on. Mm. Didn't know it was getting recorded, sly bastard.
Well, that's good, because when it is,
and it was all, I can't do that. That's why it was Inspirational Flotation Compilation, because it was a compilation of material
that, night.
That you know, would never played before. Right. It was just a jam on.
We didn't know what it was going to be when until we got there, and it just happens.
Right, plug in. Oh, it's something weird, someone. I know what he's going to do, and he knows what he's going to do.
I just play and I know feel what like what I feel it should be. You know what I mean? The style I hear, and you just join it. If you're all talking French, I decide to play French. You know what I mean? Like,
and everyone knows when it's going to stop. That's about the end of that. So we'll just fade
that's
that out.
That's the origin.
That's
the,
that was nice.
The origin. That song is just jammed on, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Fading into other songs. Because you hear bits in your head while you're playing that, and then you try to bring that and you fade into that. And everyone just sort of goes with it because they.
But that's not long enough, why don't we stick it on with that?
Aye.
That'll work.
We'll go like, we've got this bits on here, we like this. We'll keep that and we'll add it to that. Does it fit? How? Let's have a go. In, three, you know, two, one, do this. Aye, that's good. Right. That's better than the original bit, right? And stick that in, it just comes on like that. And
it's just the change all the time as well. It just changes because,
So that was your first release. What have you done since then?
That's what I'm trying to think. It was, the second release was. Breath of Fresh Air.
Collective Conscience.
No, Collective Conscience was third, I think. Breath of Fresh Air. It was either Breath of Fresh Air or Collective Conscience.
Yeah.
Breath of Fresh Air was. That's got a lot of history as well. A lot
What's
of emotion.
That? Is that
it's stuff we were making up and dealing with at the time. You know what I mean?
Oh,
hang on, you're all talking at once here again.
Sorry. It was Breath of Fresh Air was the night my car got nicked.
Thames, yeah.
And we were doing it was more mellow, sort of laid back, armchair Cromlech.
Car got nicked.
Acoustic, lots of acoustic in it.
The car got nicked 4 o'clock in the morning. We were still recording, weren't we? And the police had to come. And
I'd just like to say that all our CDs we made, something hasn't always been nicked. You know what I mean? People don't nick. Of us all but the time.
That's because I nick it all because I'm only there when.
Getting back to that to that release, I think it's one of my personal favourites, like because of the emotional history that surrounds it.
That's deeper than me. I just play. You know what I mean.
When you listen to it backward, gives you a
feel.
Picture of how it was at that time.
Aye, it's got you. It has to. Aye, isn't it?
When you sell that hand.
If I play the night, it's going to feel.
I will say. the releases from Reckenden, I mean, that was an amazing place. Like the Stone Studio at Reckenden was was the business, you know what I mean? It was like a second home. It was only 20 minutes away.
We got it together, great song there.
You know, and just to walk in there and sit how we are now.
And just plug in, like
just plug in. And it didn't matter, you know what I mean? Let's fill some bottles up and see what they sound like, mic'd up.
Aye.
You know, like, why don't you play some pans? Like, play the bongos on some pans.
It sounded
good. Just so relaxed.
From that, we've done a few gigs with Tim as well. From that progressed on to Tim come in, done some guitar in the studio,
Terry
on vocals, and Tim on vocals. From that, we've progressed. We've done a couple of gigs with Tim and Terry, and they went down great as well.
Gig with them songs, taped them, and then on the spare time, try to make up new stuff. And that's just how.
That's how that one came about.
So what was your most recent release?
The recent release was
Psychedelic.
No, it wasn't. It was I've got a total mind blank. It was Rarityality.
Rarityality.
I have a trouble. Some of that stuff is
old.
Really 1985 onwards. Like
early.
When you hear
early rehearsal stuff, dead raw sound, just taped from a little.
A little tape recorder.
Aye, some of this. Honest, this tape recorder used to tape hellish.
It
was just the old battered thing.
We tried millions of different ghetto blasters just to tape it, just to so you can record it because it's just a jam.
On that.
And you don't know what's going to come out. Then you play it and you think, right, next week we'll do that again. And you never do because you never catch.
But that's that actual release. Sort of illustrates the various members in the band at that time as well.
It's
to Chrissy Geddes is on it, Davey Walton's on it.
Most of the members.
Wiggy's on it.
You've been John's in the band on the past around that. In different times.
Awesome twins.
And
Well, it's a good one for your collection.
Now, you've got a side project, When's the Future? Tell us about this.
Now!
Well, that's
tomorrow.
That's me. It's When's the Future?
It's him tomorrow.
It started off as a writing material for Cromlech, but then realised it was nothing like Cromlech, even though it is like Cromlech. And I wanted to add, there's something we've never really had in the band. We've all dabbled with it, and on various recordings recorded, which is keyboards and synthesizers and sequences, stuff like that, you know. So When's the Future is more based around that. Mm. And when's the future is, when is the future? Oh, when's the future's now, it was then.
Well
in the future.
Which I think we'll all end up taking a hand in, though.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, everybody's had a hand in the John's doing stuff. Baz has obviously put bass on. There's only Tonks hasn't really inputted on it, but he has had input and influence, you know what I mean? He'll sit and listen to this stuff and...
It's what you like. It's just free. It's just free. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's getting around with it, though, isn't it?
It's like a canvas and you just add your bass if you want. You know what I mean?
I like it, and I'm excited.
If you like a picture, just... That's it. You know what I mean?
You can't beat Do It Live.
I mean, When's the Future with the acoustic drums and.
So is this going to be a one-off project, or will there be further?
When's the Future's going to carry on till whenever the future is. But so is Cromlech. I mean, there was a certain review, I can't remember who reviewed the album, it might have been yourself, Gary, but basically it came up with a phrase that Cromlech basically won't die. It'll always be there. It's been there since the beginning of time.
Where do you go from here? What's next on the agenda?
Drink beer, have fun.
The stuff we make up the night.
This is the starting point. We're going to be booking rehearsals for Cromlech. Obviously, When's the Future? It'll be released, the new one, which is then.
I'm always in Cromlech anyway. I'll always play the bass. I'll always have a bass, and I'll always be ready to do anything. You know what I mean?
Have fun and keep having fun.
Keep it alive.
And make sure you have fun.
Do it, just do it, isn't it? Everyone loves music, and music's great fun if you love it, and that's
just
it.
Just in general, in life.
I'll always play music, you know what I mean?
If you're not having fun, go and do something that's fun.
That's all I'll always do, because I've had actual men, but I have to go back to my bass all the time.
The state of the world these days, music is a leg, isn't it?
Well, it's a feeling, isn't it? It's emotional.
That's very deep, John, for you, lad.
It's amazing.
Very deep.
Mathematical.
It's an escape route, isn't it?
It's got colours in it, it's got everything.
Isn't it?
That some words can't say what music can
music
say.
Music is an escapism.
It is, aye. I'm sick. I'll put this on. I'm in a different world.
It's sad, it's happy, it's everything. It's what, it's feelings, and that's what...
Houdini on the bass.
That's what you're made of, isn't
it? I like it when it blows your fucking head off.
Nice. Well, I love it when you get a shock through it, you know, when you get an emotional shudder through it, like, when you're really into a bit, you know?
And that's why we'll always keep playing music, because we love it.
When's the Future's obviously... The people who are sitting here, and Rachel Mindo, who's got a big influence on When's the Future. She's wrote quite a few lyrics for songs, she's added vocals, and she's also added little bits of keyboard and that. And I just thought I'd better mention, because she is When's the Future.
She is. Mm-hmm. I'd like to mention something.
You know what I mean?
If it wasn't for Vicky, I'd be pissed in a ditch. There you go.
Right, there you go, Gary. Cheers, mate, it's been good.